We're continuing with the Sermon on the Mount, and today we have reached Matthew 7, the first 12 verses, which were read to us a few minutes ago. And I just want to make a few comments on these verses. They may seem a bit disconnected at first, but we'll try and bring them all together at the end. Firstly, Jesus tells us not to judge one another. Verse 1 and 2, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Jesus was speaking to his disciples, the first Christian church, which had fulfilled all the previous history of Israel. He realizes that the church, like Israel, will be imperfect. In it, there will be tensions, there will be problems, mistakes, misdemeanors. He realizes that there will be all different kinds of people gathered together into the fellowship of the church with different personalities. The disciples themselves were very different from one another, as we have seen. Therefore, in the church, it will be very easy to misunderstand one another, to rub one another up the wrong way, as we say, to misjudge one another. Someone compared Christ's binding of his church together as a man going into a wood to gather sticks for his fire. He gathers a bundle of firewood to take it home. The sticks in the bundle are all different. Some are crooked. All are crooked, in fact, in one way or another. Some seem too long, some too short, some too thick, some too thin. There's bits sticking out of each of them. They're prickly and jagged. They'll never easily fit together. Each one by itself is a bit peculiar. But the man gathers them and binds them together in one bundle and then takes them home. Christ comes to us, puts his arms around us, and puts us in one bundle. Now, in saying that, I'm not just being sentimental. Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians, which I'll be speaking about tonight, that in Christ all things hold together. Jesus, in his humanity, embraced all of humanity, taking all our jagged edges, dying for us under the jagged weight of the sin of mankind, symbolized perhaps in that crown of thorns which he bore, and taking to himself all the jaggedness of the world, he took us into his death that we might rise with him to eternal life. And if we think of him, his cross and his resurrection, then we will stay together. But if we concentrate on one another's peculiarities, then we'll jag one another. How do we relate to one another in the Christian fellowship? Jesus forbids two things here. He tells us not to judge one another, and he tells us not to be hypocritical, pretending to correct others when we ourselves are in the wrong. And he uses the illustration of the man with a plank in his own eye trying to take the speck out of somebody else's eye. So first of all, he says, do not judge. When the writer Tolstoy read these words, he thought that Jesus was forbidding all law courts, saying there should be no judges and judgment in the land. But Jesus was not talking about the way we organize our national life. He's not forbidding us from having law courts, nor does he mean that we should be naive, trusting everyone and anyone. We still have to use our mind. We have to be wise in our dealings with people. What he's saying is, don't be censorious of others. Don't judge others harshly. Don't be a fault-finding person. Don't be negative and destructive in your attitude toward others. Don't have that kind of personality which loves to criticize, which loves to hear gossip about the wrong things that others are supposed to have done. Shun such things. Don't put the worst possible construction on other people's motives. The Jewish rabbis taught six great works: study, visiting the sick, hospitality, prayer, teaching children the Word of God, and thinking the best in others. Thinking the best in others. History is full of misjudgments. So much of the tensions of the world, the superpower tensions and other international tensions of today, are because one side misunderstands and misjudges the other's motives. Jesus gives us two reasons why in the Christian fellowship we should not judge one another. We don't know their secret trials, temptations, agonies, and passions. We don't see the hearts of others. We do not know their background, what forces are working upon them. And we ourselves are sinful people. Next, Jesus says, in relationship to the failures of others, for we will see them failing, we must not be hypocritical. We must not be like the man with a plank in his eye tries to remove the speck in another man's eye. That rather dramatic parable points to that human tendency to magnify other people's faults and to minimize our own. Supposing you and I fail in some way, we all know the excuses we can make for ourselves. We can excuse ourselves because of tiredness, or that we were overburdened with duties that made us irritable. But we don't apply the same standards to others. We have a tendency to make a rosy view, or to have a rosy view of ourselves, but a rather jaundiced view of other people. We know our own excuses, but we're not prepared to allow excuses in others. And the plank that Jesus says that may get in our eye is not just the individual wrongdoing that I may have committed, but it is the fault-finding nature that's in my heart. If I have a judgmental attitude towards others, I won't be able to see straight, I won't be able to relate to one another as I should. Have we forgotten how much the Lord forgives us? Or perhaps we've never really repented and confessed our sins at all. If you have a fault-finding nature, it's evident that you're far from God. Because to be near to God is to be near to the cross. For that is where he revealed himself in all the fullness of his love and mercy. And if you're near to the cross, you can't have a censorious nature towards others. You have a plank blocking your own view, and yet you try to remove the speck from others. That's what Jesus is saying. Put yourself right with God, then walk humbly before him. Then you will be able to help others rise when they fall. And you won't judge them behind their backs. The next thing Jesus says is, don't cast your pearls before swine. Verse 6, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. What does that mean? It means at least that spiritual things are very, very sacred. The words of our hymns, our prayers, the words from the Bible, the words we have used in the baptism this morning, the words that were sung to us, are precious words. They deal with very deep things to do with the very heart of God revealed in the cross of Jesus. On the one hand, of course, we are to proclaim the gospel to all the world. But that doesn't mean that we have to band it about as if it were a mere political slogan. The deep things of God do not need to be jazzed up so that the world may believe. We don't take our deepest and most sacred things and band them about as if they were nothing but advertisements. That would be casting our pearls before swine. And the swine mistake the pearls for peas, and when they find them inedible, they spew them out and trample them in the mud. That's what Jesus means. Perhaps we may think that the word swine is too strong a word, but it isn't. It's the word that Jesus used. It means someone who continuously, for a long time, hardens his heart against the sacred things of the heart of God. I can think of someone I know very well, not known by anyone here this morning, who every time he meets me asks me for an argument about the truth of the Christian faith. He claims to be an unbeliever. I don't bring the subject up, he brings it up. And though I say it myself, I always win the argument. But when he's at the point of losing, he turns to mock and laugh and scorn. That's his final defense. And so there came a time that when he brought the subject up again, I refused to engage in the discussion anymore, though I pray for him still. We read in the Bible that God's Spirit will not strive with man forever. It's not that God gets tired of striving with us. Rather, sacred things must not be despised forever, because they are to do with God and the cross and the blood of Jesus, which we talk about only with solemn and serious ways. Thirdly, Jesus talks about prayer. He says, in verse 7 to 11, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Ask, seek, and knock. A child asks his mother, and the mother gives. But perhaps the mother's in another room, as I was saying to the children, so we need to go and seek. The child needs to go and seek, and knock, perhaps. If you and I are with the Lord, near to the cross, then what we ask will be in accordance with his loving mercy for the world, and we will receive. If we are not with him, if we have not walked with him, if we've neglected to speak to him, if we've neglected to pay attention to his word, if we've cheapened the gospel and forgotten the cross, if we've become judgmental against others, then before we ask, we'll need to seek, and we'll need to knock. But God in his grace will respond to our search and our knocking. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And then Jesus gives us the golden rule, what's called the golden rule in verse 12. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. It sums up the Old Testament, in other words. I think those words hardly need preaching about. They're clear enough, aren't they? If you want people to be understanding of you, then you must be understanding of them. If you don't want people to keep judging you, then don't keep judging others. But that brings us back to the first point, doesn't it? We bring the two together. Whatsoever you would have men do to you, you do to them. The measure you give will be the way it's measured to you. Lastly, at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, and I'll be referring to this not today, but in a few weeks' time, Jesus speaks of himself as the judge before whom we will all give account on the last day. The Father has given all judgment to his Son. We can't judge one another because we don't know the secret trials of one another's hearts, and we too are unworthy. But Jesus does know our secret trials and agonies. Not only does he know them with his mind, he bore them in his body and soul to the cross. He sees to our heart, knows our heart, knows our sorrows, and was in that context without sin at all. Therefore, his Father entrusts all judgment to him. How important then that we walk close to him, that we seek, that we knock, and we ask. So that any time we will ask according to his loving and gracious will. May that be true of all of us. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, our heavenly Father, if we have strayed from thee and the cross and become judgmental of others, bring us by thy Spirit to seek thee and find thee in Jesus, that our hearts may be like him, meek and lowly in heart, so that we might find rest for our souls, and in him know the true value of prayer according to his will. We ask it in his name. Amen.